James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. Four men. These four men have something in common. First of all, these four men are brothers. They are sons of the same father and mother. Secondly, all four brothers have sisters. They are the daughters of their father and mother. Third, they have one more brother, though he is only the biological son of their mother, but not the biological son of their father. Who are these four men? They are the sons of a godly couple. Their father is Joseph. Their mother is Mary. We don't know their sisters by name. These four brothers, their other brother's name is Jesus, the biological son of their mother Mary, but not the biological son of their father Joseph. Can you imagine with me living in the family of Mary and Joseph with brothers and sisters and Jesus in that very family? Of course, Jesus was the firstborn in that family. He was conceived even before the marriage of Joseph and Mary was consummated. He was conceived not by another man. He was conceived by the supernatural working of God Almighty. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus was the Son of the Highest. He was called Emmanuel, God with us. He is the eternal Son of God who had become a mortal man. The conception of Jesus is quite miraculous. It's supernatural. It's beyond our understanding. Joseph was not involved in the process. No other man was involved in the process. Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was born while Mary was yet a virgin. After the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, we have Joseph and Mary living together as husband and wife, and we have other children born to them. Or I guess I shouldn't even say other. We have children born to them as a result of that God-honoring union. In all likelihood, as we think about the family of Mary and Joseph, of course, Jesus the firstborn. Next in line, we don't know positively, but very likely James was the next to be born, the next brother, the next son. Probably next to be born was their son Joseph, and then either after Joseph was Judas or Simon. We can't say for sure. And we don't know the order of the daughters. Probably maybe some daughters interspersed there. And Joseph was a man who worked with his hands. He was probably a carpenter by trade, although possibly he worked with stone, but very likely a carpenter. And I think Joseph would have taught that trade to all of his boys. Not only was Jesus known as the carpenter's son, but all of the other brothers would have been known as carpenter's sons as well. Now, in addition to the boys being known as carpenter sons, it didn't take long before some of the boys became known as something else. It was only a matter of time before those four brothers became known as Jesus' brothers. We have James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. They were known as Jesus' brothers. We have the sisters known as Jesus' sisters. Of course, we all realize that Jesus is totally unique. He's no ordinary man. He's no ordinary brother. We confess Jesus as the Son of God. He's the one who is sent by God as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's the Lord of glory. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior of the world. As we think about living in the home of Joseph and Mary, I think some of his siblings, some of Jesus' siblings, very soon, very early on, began to realize Jesus is no ordinary brother. Jesus wasn't like the rest of them. Very possibly some of them started to realize that things were different whenever Jesus was 12 years old. It was at this age, do you remember, Jesus and his family were in Jerusalem. They were there to celebrate the Passover. After the Passover had been celebrated, we have the family going back to Jerusalem, going back to Nazareth, rather, from Jerusalem to Nazareth. Only Jesus stayed behind. The family didn't realize it at the time, but Jesus had stayed behind. He was in the temple talking with the teachers. Whenever Mary and Joseph realized that Jesus wasn't in their travel company, they went back to Jerusalem. They started looking for him. And whenever they found Jesus, Jesus said this to them, "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" And Jesus returned. And we don't know how many of the siblings were alive at that point in time, how many had been born at that point in time. But maybe at that point in time, they realized something is a little different here with Jesus. Maybe they realized that beforehand. Whenever Jesus had grown to be a young man, what we'd consider an adult, or even older than what we'd consider an adult, or at least the point of becoming an adult. Jesus was invited with his mother and his disciples to a wedding in Cana of Galilee. Whether his brothers or sisters were invited to that wedding, we don't know. Maybe they were, maybe they weren't. But if they were, they would have been present at Jesus' first miracle. They probably weren't realizing that Jesus had done a miracle. But Jesus' first miracle was what? Changing water into wine. Jesus was showing himself, at least to some, that he is unique. He is God in the flesh. As time went on, it would have become very clear to Jesus' siblings that Jesus was not ordinary. He's unique. The teachings that he put forth were like nobody else's teachings. The reports of the signs and miracles that he had done surely would have made them wonder about Jesus. Who is this brother of ours? Jesus very soon had quite the following, and Jesus no longer spent much time with Mary or Joseph or with his brothers or sisters. And as they saw all the things that Jesus did, as they heard the reports, as they heard the words that he spoke, I'm sure that Joseph and Mary and the brothers and sisters, they began to wonder, is Jesus okay? Has he gone off the deep end? Maybe some of them were wondering. Or maybe he isn't thinking too clearly. Has he become a little bit too extreme in what he does and what he says? I think that Jesus' family did become concerned about Jesus. We read in Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 50, while Jesus yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Jesus was devoted to preaching the gospel of the coming kingdom, and how he, in fact, is the Messiah. And now, he didn't always proclaim his messiahship in an open way, but he did proclaim that he is the Son of God. He is the Savior. He is the one who has come to set his people free. But many people did not believe that Jesus was special. Even as Jesus spoke in his own hometown, the people didn't accept him as somebody special. They didn't accept him as God sent one. This is what we read in Matthew chapter 13, verses 53 through 56. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he came into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? So whenever Jesus went to his hometown and he proclaimed God's word, the people rejected him. By and large, all the people rejected him. Not only did the people of Jesus' hometown reject him, but his own brothers rejected him. They refused to believe that he is the Son of God. We have James and Joseph, Simon and Judas, refusing to believe that Jesus was God's son. We read this in John chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. Then we read in verse 5, for neither did his brethren believe in him. It's easy for us to think in our minds, how could it possibly be that James and Joseph, Simon and Judas, Jesus' own brothers, how could they live so closely and grow up in the same home as Jesus and not realize that Jesus is somebody special, that he is in fact the Son of God? How could they fail to understand that? How could Jesus' own brothers refuse to believe in Jesus as their Savior? How could their eyes be so blinded to the truth? But yet they rejected Jesus. And it wasn't until Jesus died on the cross, he was buried and he rose again, that Sometime after that, Jesus' own siblings come to the realization that Jesus is who he proclaimed to be. Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Savior. He's the Son of God. It's after Jesus' death and resurrection that his brothers finally accepted him for who he is. Jesus personally appeared to his brother James, probably the next down in age from him. Jesus personally appeared to James after his resurrection. Whether that was before he accepted Jesus as Savior or after, we don't know for sure. It doesn't tell us. But we do know that Jesus appeared to his brother James. We do know that after Jesus' ascension to heaven, that all of Jesus' physical brothers were with the disciples and Jesus' other followers whenever they were gathered together. We read this in Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Then returned they unto Jerusalem, referring to the disciples. They returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem about a Sabbath day's, journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the son of James. And then we read in verse 14 that these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So here are Jesus' own brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, together with the disciples. From this testimony, I believe at this point in time they were saved. They had accepted Jesus for who he is. Now, of all of Jesus' brothers, we have four of them, James became the most well-known. Eventually, James rose to a prominent position in the Jerusalem church. We read in Acts chapter 12 and 15 and 21 that James is in a position of leadership. Paul speaks of James, as well as Cephas and John, as ones who are recognized as pillars in the church. So here's James in the earthly life of Jesus, up to the time of Jesus' death. James had refused to accept Jesus as Savior. James had refused to accept that Jesus was God in the flesh, that Jesus was God's sent one. But after Jesus' resurrection, that all changed. James accepted Jesus for who he is. James became a believer in Christ. And God chose to use James in a great way. James was used of God to further God's work in Jerusalem. Not only did God choose James to do a great work for him, but we also have God choosing the rest of the brothers to do a great work for him as well. We have the brothers, besides James, that I believe traveled throughout the country as missionaries, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. Am I not an apostle, Paul says? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are ye not my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. My answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord in Cephas? So from Paul's testimony here, Jesus' brothers, according to the flesh, were ones who took their wives with them and were involved in the Christian ministry, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, of those who were involved in this ministry, of course, we know James was in leadership over the Jerusalem church eventually. What about Simon and Joseph? Do you know anything about Simon and Joseph, what they did for the Lord? We don't know anything about what they did for the Lord. I believe they were faithful in ministry, that as Paul says, that the brothers of the Lord took about their wives and were ministering like Paul did. We do know a little bit more about Judas. Now, Judas, or known as Judah in other ways, in other places, we have Jude, who's probably the youngest or the second to the youngest. We know a little bit more about him because we have one of the letters that he wrote to some fellow believers. Jude wrote to some fellow believers warning them of false teachers that had weaseled their way into their midst. Jude was teaching them concerning how they should be living their lives in this circumstance. This letter, known as Jude, is relatively short in length. Yet it was inspired of God. As Jude wrote it, God was bearing him along. This letter was recognized by the church as Holy Scripture. This short letter called Jude was written to meet a serious need in the early church. It was probably written in the 50s or the 60s. It was written very long ago, but yet it has much to teach us today. And it's to this small letter that we turn this morning, the little letter of Jude. It's right before the book of Revelation, so it's the second to the last book in the New Testament. Jude, I invite you to turn there with me this morning. If you're using one of our pew Bibles, it's page 1405. So as I read through this letter, keep in mind that the man who wrote this letter was Jesus' own brother according to the flesh. During the days of Jesus' life, Jude had rejected Jesus as Savior. But after Jesus' death and resurrection, Jude was gloriously saved. God used Jude to do his work. And here we have Jude. As you read in the Gospels, it's Judas. Keep that in mind. But here we have Jude, another form of the name. At least in English, another form of the name. And follow along as I read this. And in the weeks to come, we'll be studying this little letter. And we will see how God uses his truth in our hearts. The book of Jude. Follow along as I read this morning. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you, and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the other cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring about against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam, for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there would be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. May God use the words of Jude to minister in our hearts in the weeks to come. May we be encouraged, may we be challenged by his words. May we be spurred on to Christ-likeness. God's grace was extended to Judas, the Lord's brother. Judas rejected Jesus before Jesus' death. But praise the Lord that Judas accepted Jesus as Savior after Jesus' death and resurrection. And God chose to use Judas, or Jude as we have it here in this epistle. God chose to use him for his glory. As we think about Jude, he was writing to some fellow believers. And he began by saying in verse 3 that he was giving all diligence to write unto them of the common salvation. That was his original intent. But then it came to his realization that he understood that that congregation, that group of believers, was struggling with something. There was a danger facing it. He said, "It was needful for me to write unto you, exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints." See, Jude wanted to share about the wonderful salvation that he and his fellow believers had in Christ, but then he exhorted his believers, his fellow believers, they needed to contend for the faith because there were false teachers that had weaseled their way in amongst them. But as we consider, even this morning, what Jude wrote, and what he at first was going to write about, that common salvation, Jude was saved by Jesus Christ's death on the cross. Jude trusted in Jesus for his salvation. His fellow believers had done the same thing. We today can identify with Jude. Why? Because we have that same common salvation. We also have looked to Jesus for eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. Jude was saved in the same way that we were saved. Maybe this morning, some of you have not yet trusted in Jesus as Savior. You can be saved just as Jude was, by trusting in Jesus as Savior, recognizing that he died on the cross for you. He was buried. He rose again the third day. He bore the full weight of your sin. He died in our place. We've experienced the grace of God in our lives just like Jude did. God desires to use us in his church just like he used Jude in his church. We all have been saved by the blood of Jesus. We've been called to serve him. In the weeks ahead, we will consider more of the letter of Jude